How to have the greatest year of your life. Absolutely. How many of you are shocked that it's already almost the end of January? And I'm not going to tell you it's because you're getting older that time is going faster. I'm not going to say that. I just refuse to believe that, all right? But the reality is, hey, listen, it's almost the end of January. In light of that, we are going to finish up our series probably today, and next week we'll start something new. But in light of that, I just want to review just real quick and talk about what we've talked about over the last several weeks. Over the last 3 weeks, first week we talked about how we serve a God that has limitless possibilities. Oh, it was that good. It was that good. How many of you believe our God? Let me say it in the form of a statement. How many of you know serving our God brings limitless possibilities? Our God is unlimited. And then the following week, we came back and we actually got into this verse. And I'll show you the verse because we're going to use it as a launching pad. It says this: Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Why? This is the first and greatest commandment. How many of you know we came back the next week and we said that if you're going to have the greatest year of your life, you're going to have to put God first. Absolutely. If you're going to have the greatest year of your life, you've got to put God first. Living with a daily mindset of, "Lord, I want to put you first." And then the next week, last week, we came back and we said this, that we want to make sure we do this. And the second is like unto it, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, some of you, I don't know if it was this service or last service or which service it was. Some of you beat me to the punch last week because you were like, I said, "Guess what part of that verse we're going to talk about?" And you said, "Loving ourselves." And I was like, "No, no, that's not what we're talking about. What are we talking about? Loving our neighbor." Y'all remember that? All right, we talked about that, loving your neighbor. Well, this week I want to do just a little bit on ourselves. Now, because I think preaching a message called loving yourself is way too feminine for Charlie Riley, we're not going to call it that, all right, y'all? We're just not going there, all right? But I will tell you this, I am going to talk to you today about how to change your life yourself, how to change your life yourself. And really, the message really is more of a challenge. It really is more of a challenge. The entire message is really more about challenging you and where you're at, okay? Does everybody get that? I'm going to give you the challenge in a minute. So, but listen to this. Revelation 21 says this. It says, "Then behold, he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I will make all things what?' I will make all things," new. "I'll make all things new." This is Revelation chapter 21, which is after Jesus returns, the 1,000-year millennial reign, and now God is making all things new. How many of you like new things? About 12 of y'all. That's good. Out of 480, that ain't bad, I guess. Listen, I love new things. I like a new gun. Try and get a couple at least every year. New guns. Okay, I can't leave the women out. New purses. Okay, how about this? The last service, they just took over. The women did. They're like, "Shoes!" How many of you women love new shoes? New shoes. I don't get it. But new shoes. All right. New shoes. New shoes. New shoes. What are some other things that people love new? They love jewelry. Women, that's to you. Jewelry. We need a dude thing. Car. I was going there, but I want to go there with Michelle. Okay. Oh, clothes. Close, all right. But here's the reality. I was actually headed to cars because most people think of dude in cars, all right, which I'm a dude in cars. I like it, right? Matter of fact, last night, the most distracting thing of last night's service was Michael drove his Mustang, and during my preaching time last night, he goes rumbling around the parking lot and going down the road. It, whoop, 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 and I'm up here trying to talk, and I'm like, that sounds good. That sounds good. Okay. Anyway, I'm back. But anyway, so check this out. I don't know about you guys and your wives and all that stuff, but I can tell you about my wife. I should say your wife, not wives. Here's the thing. My wife loves a new car. Michelle loves a new car. Let me just kind of fill you in on this. When it comes to Michelle, there are very few things she asks for new. And if, first of all, anything she wants, she just goes and gets and whatever, just buy it, whatever. All right, and I don't really care. But when it comes to a car, she knows that that's the one thing I go buy for her, in a sense. So she likes cars. So when the first Chrysler 300s came out, she liked that body style. She liked that car. So she said, you know what, I like that. Now, if you've not been married very long, you don't know what that means. And this is marriage counseling if you've been married for less than 10 years. If your wife says, oh, I really like that, that doesn't mean you go, oh, that's nice. You go, okay, and you go get that. Can I get a witness from the women? Come on. All right, and if you're a man that's been married 20 years or more, you know what I'm saying, right? You listen, women under, if you've been married less than 10 years, men don't get hints. Under 10 years, you should have a manual of translating what she says and what you do. All right, but anyway, I digress. Here it goes. So Michelle says when the new Chargers came out. No, sorry. Yeah, I get it all jacked up. Did I say it right? Charger. Here's my philosophy on Charger and Challenger. You ready? The Charger should be the two-door, and the Challenger should be the four-door. You say, why? The name is short, so it should be the short one. Charger, two-door, Challenger. You got a family, that's a challenge. All right? Okay, anyway. So when the Challenger? Charger. Ah! When the Charger came out, Michelle says, oh, I really like that. I'm like, I like him too. So I go out, I find her a white one. I love white. We go out, we buy her one. So yesterday, through Kokomo from a swim meet, we were coming through Kokomo, and there was a red Charger. Charger? Charger, it's the same car, right? Yeah, okay, same car. I'm terrible, isn't that awful? But here it comes. Pulled up beside us, drove up there. I'm like, Michelle, Charger. You like that? Challenger? Charger. I said, you like that one? She's like, no, I don't like that one. I said, Michelle, it's the same car. It's the same car as you're driving. She goes, no. And it's a newer one. It's brand new. You can still see the plate. I said, that's a brand new one. Still got the paper plate on it, man. That's a bad car right there. She goes, no, I don't like that one. See, now, men, if you've been married more than 20 years and you can get her to say, oh, I like that, that gives you permission. Yeah, that's permission. So I said, you don't like that? That's the same car. She goes, I don't like that one. I said, that is the same car. She goes, no, it isn't. Look at the back of the car. She goes, the glass comes down. See, she's been around car guys way too long. She goes, the back of the glass comes down different onto the trunk, and then it doesn't have the taillights that go around in circle like that. It's got square taillights on the back. I just don't like that one. I was like, you don't? Because it's a SRT Hellcat. Like 715 horsepower. I was like, man, because if I could get her there, then it'd be like, look, babe, your new car. You know, I couldn't get her to go along with it. So in light of that, let me just say this. I believe that it's godly to like new things. I believe that our God likes new things. And even more importantly, listen to this. I believe that our God likes to do a new thing in us all the time. I really do believe that. I believe that God is always wanting to do a new thing in us. He's always wanting to progress us a little bit further than where we are currently. But for him to do that, he's got to do a new thing in us. You can't do the old thing. You know, there's a story in the Bible about wineskins, and Jesus said you can't put new wine into old wineskins. And there's such a truth to that, because a lot of times you need to empty something out of your tank before God fills your tank with new things. So here's my challenge. The whole message, again, is about a challenge. I'm going to give you four areas, four spiritual areas that I want to challenge you in. Now, here's what I want you to do. There are four questions I'm going to ask. I want you to pick one. Now, we've got, how many of you are overachievers? The overachievers are scared to say it. Because why? Well, they don't want attention. They just want to beat everybody else. All right? If you're an overachiever, you may say, you know what? I'll take two of them. If you're like the bomb, you're going to take four of them. All right, now, here's my caution. When it comes to you changing in an area of your life, it's better to go one and concentrate on it than five or six and spread it out. Let me give you a perfect example of this. When I was in Bible college, I took a class called Faith. And in that class, we had to learn about, y'all are smart. We had to learn about faith. And one of the assignments was, we were to believe God for something. Listen to this. Believe God for something you did not need. Real practical assignment. And write a paper on it. So, I was to believe God during the class for something I did not need. And honestly, whenever we received the assignment, I thought, this is stupid. Why am I believing God for something I don't need? So I thought, you know what? Okay, I got to do the class. I got to do my best. So what am I going to believe for? I thought, you know what? What's about the most useless thing I could believe God for? And if I don't get it, I'm not disappointed. Pair of socks. How many of you know that's stupid? A pair of socks. But that's what I thought. I thought, you know what? A pair of socks. I'll believe God for a pair of socks. Why? Because I don't throw my socks away until they got big holes in them. Right? Can I get a witness in the house of God? Right? They're about broke in, baby. Don't go nowhere. Listen to this. So here's what happened. So I'm believing God for these socks all through this class. About 3 days before the class paper was due, I wrote my paper. And it was, I believe it was a two-page paper on basically what I learned about faith in light of this. And I put, you know, I was believing for a pair of socks and I didn't get a pair of socks and whatever, but I prayed every day for it, and I asked the Lord for it, and blah, blah, blah. So that was the course of the paper. Well, wouldn't you know it, at this time I was not a pastor. One of the critical parts of the assignment was you were not to tell anybody about what you were praying for. No one, okay? To eliminate me going, hey, Michelle, socks? I mean, you know, that's cheating, all right? So and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to do it. So I write my paper, didn't get what I was believing for, yada, yada, yada. Sunday morning, we get up and we get ready to go to church. Now, at this time, I'm not a pastor. I'm just attending a local church. So I get up, get ready. I open the drawer to my socks and underwear and a bunch of other miscellaneous stuff that I keep there. You know, come on, that's the catch-all for a dude, right? Nobody else. I got change, money. Anyway, all right. So I open the drawer and I'm like, lo and behold, guess what's there? Brand new pair of socks. Brand new. Brand new. And when I say brand new, they were still in the wrap. The sticky wrap with the little hook thing that if you rip it off, you put a hole in the sock and you got to go buy new ones. Yeah. They're sitting there. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm believing for a pair of socks, and here's a pair of socks. I look to Michelle. I'm like, did you go buy me some new socks? She goes, I didn't buy you no socks. I'm like, well, good. You know? And I'm like, this blew my mind. And you say, well, what happened? I don't know. All I can say is I did not buy a pair of socks. My wife didn't buy a pair of socks, and I have a brand new pair of socks in the sock drawer. My opinion, there's no other explanation except for God put those socks there. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Oh, that's crazy, whatever, whatever. Okay, whether it is or isn't, it's what happened in my world. Now, let me just show you something that I learned about that in that class. It's better to take, and instead of believing for 50 things in your life, it's better to focus your faith down on one or two things that you're going to believe for. I learned that in that class. See, because up till that point in my life, I was believing God for this and that and that and that. I'd walk by something and say, well, I'll believe for that. And it was like if I could carry stickies around and be like, oh, I like that, and I like that, and I like that, and I just pray for all of it. This class taught me, you know what? It's more effective for you to take your faith and focus it in like a laser on something and pray and believe God. And let me tell you what else it taught me. It taught me that when God moves in that area that I'm believing for, It's obvious. It's obvious. Why? Because it's at the forefront of my mind as to what God did. Y'all hearing what I'm saying today? All right? So listen to this. As we talk about these four areas that I want to challenge you in, I want to say this. It's better that you pick one than you pick five. It's better that you pick one. All right? So here we go. Here's the four areas. If you're taking notes, write this down. This is the first question I have for you. This is the first one. And this may speak to some of you. It may not to others, but it may speak to some of you. And here it is. What is the one thing that you desire from God this year? What is the one thing? What is the one thing? Psalms 27 says this. One thing I have desired of the Lord. Look at that. Everybody say one thing. One thing. One thing I've desired of the Lord. And this is the psalmist David. He said, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. But here's the reality. He said, this one thing I desire. This one thing. What is the one thing that you desire? Say, Pastor Charlie, I don't get it. What do you mean by desire? Listen to this. A lot of times in our lives, we think that our desires in our heart are not godly. Matter of fact, I know super spiritual people that say, well, if it's in my heart, it must not be God. I remember going through this whenever I was wanting to go to Bible college. I remember praying and saying, I want to go to Bible college. And then I thought, no, it must be the enemy. It must be the devil. It must not be God. And then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, does that really make sense? Why would the devil put it in my heart to go to Bible college? Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm just telling you where I was at. I was like, why would the devil put that in my heart? See, a lot of times in our heart, we don't know what we should do. But the Bible says that if you will trust the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. What is the one thing? What is the one thing you desire? And listen to this. Some of you think this is only spiritual. Only spiritual. Like, I desire a deeper walk with God. Well, I think that's noble, but you need something a little bit more concrete than I want a deeper walk with God. You know? How about this? I desire to have a deeper prayer life. I pray before every meal because I see people at church and they see me at the restaurant, and so therefore I pray over my meal, Pastor. And I want a deeper prayer life than just praying over my food. Okay, that's noble. Let's say that. Every day I'm going to pray for my family. See, that's a way you can nail it down. Or maybe prayer life isn't it. Maybe, you know, the desire of your heart is to know more about the Bible. Well, then you need to commit yourself to saying, you know what, this year I'm going to commit myself to learning more about the Bible. I'm going to sit there with the Bible and a notepad. I'm going to write out questions. I'm going to make notes. I'm going to study the Bible. Or maybe it's nothing spiritual, but spiritual. Let me show you an example of that. Desires of my heart. How many of you know I like guns? Only three of y'all know that. That's shocking. But anyway, the rest of you just aren't participating. But let me give you something that's physical, but spiritual. Let me show you. When my dad passed away, my dad was 57 years old when he passed away. He moved here. He was a drug addict. We got him free from drugs for 5 months. He lived with me, okay? Got him sober, got him off of drugs, got him straight. He's living with me, all right? My dad bought him a house in Kokomo. 2 weeks later, died of a drug overdose. How he got drugs, have no idea. I just know he died of drug overdose. Now, here's the deal. When my dad died, I inherited one gun. Now, my dad loved guns and grew up in Louisiana and had tons of guns. when he passed away, I inherited one gun. What happened to all the guns before he moved here? He sold them. Guess what for? Drugs. Right. So I inherit one gun. Okay? Now get this. Listen to this. When my dad passed away and I inherited one gun, I said, Lord, the desire of my heart is that you would restore everything the enemy stole from my family. All right? So every year, I at least get one gun. And now listen. Listen to it. The desire of my heart isn't so much about the gun as it is having something to pass on to my sons, my son and my daughter, and passing something on as a legacy into their life. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Listen to this. That's the desire of my heart, to be a blessing to my kid. Now watch this. Watch this. My dad died at 57. His dad died at 35. His dad died at 35. Three generations back. That's why I'm believing the desire of my heart is to live to be old. Old. Old like annoying great-grandkids old. See, listen to this. Listen to this, guys. See, this is my one desire. Okay, now again, I'm believing for those. Okay, so this may not be yours, but these are things that you can believe for. I'll give you one more quick one. I wanted to drive my Roadster yesterday so bad. It was nice out, but I didn't get to. But what? Okay, watch this. Before my dad went to prison, he had a 55 Chevy that I grew up in. That was the coolest thing as a kid. He had a 4 on the floor. Man, I just loved it. You know what? I love hot rods. The hot rod to me does not represent being cool, driving around. It represents things that the enemy has stolen from my family that God is restoring into my family. You hearing what I'm saying? Does everybody hear what I'm saying? Please understand. Here's what I want you to hear. It's not about the thing. It's about what God is doing to pay your family and move in your family's life. Come on, did y'all hear what I'm saying? What is the one thing in your world that if God would do it, you would say, that's the Lord blessing and moving in my life? That's the one thing. What's the one thing? Some of you, it may be a relationship. Some of you, it may be physical things, okay? Chances are, let me say it this way. Men, it probably has to do with physical things because guys are defined by what they have and what they do. Women, it's probably a relational thing because women are defined by their family and their home. And when I say family, I'm talking about the familia, the whole family. You hear what I'm saying? So to the women, it's probably relational, but to the men, it's probably physical. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? And it's all right, but what is the one thing? What is the one thing? What is the one thing? Now, maybe that includes everybody, but I'm not done. I got three more. What are you doing? Don't sell out now. Let me go to the second thing. You ready? Look at the second thing. What is the second thing? All right? Oh, come on. My one thing is that the iPad would act right. All right? Here we go. Here's the second one. You ready? See, because I don't know. Your one thing may be, God, the desire of my heart is this. Okay? But here's the second one. Second one. What is the one thing that you are missing? What is the one thing you're missing? See, maybe it's not something as far as the desire of your heart, but maybe there's something in your life you feel like it's just missing. Let me give you an example of that. This is a great example in the Bible. Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says this. And now he was going, Jesus, going down the road, and a man came out running and knelt down before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall you do? What shall I do to have eternal life? Notice this. He's missing something on the inside. Watch. He's going to say how he's keeping the commandments. He's doing all this, but he's missing something on the inside. So maybe it isn't something you desire. Maybe it's something deep down in here that you're missing. Watch this. He goes on to say this. He says, so Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good, that one except God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Watch this. And he answered and he said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Notice this. I've kept all those things, but I still am missing something on the inside. Watch this. Jesus goes on to say, then Jesus looking at him, what did he do? He He loved him. And he said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross, and what? Follow me, follow me, follow me. Now watch this. This man was not willing to let go of those things to follow the one thing. Watch. But he was sad in his this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I would argue the fact that he didn't have great possessions. Great possessions had him, and they had a hold of his heart. And here's the reality. The reality is, watch this. He wasn't willing. He wasn't willing to follow God in the one thing. He wasn't allowing God to minister into his heart in that one thing. Listen to it again, and then I want to give you some ideas of what this could be. What one thing are you missing? What one thing are you missing? So it may come to you this way. What one thing are you missing in your spiritual walk? You know, maybe some of you, you've never had good Christian fellowship. Can I tell you, one of the greatest blessings of my spiritual life has been the fact that when I first got saved, I surrounded myself immediately with a bunch of people who love Jesus. A bunch of people that love Jesus. I knew if I'm going to grow in this thing called Christianity and in my faith, I've got to surround myself with a bunch of Christian people. So immediately at our church in Florida, I got plugged into a life group, started leading the life group, got plugged into the life of the church, got plugged in. And again, I'm not trying to tell you, you need to get, but I will tell you this. It is hard to stay on fire for God when you're surrounded by people that don't believe in God. Is that fair? Bible says bad company corrupts good morals, right? I know what we think. Well, I'm there to witness. No, you're there to get drugged down. You're going to get drugged down. What you need to do is surround yourself with some people that love God the way you do, and you don't have to agree on everything. I don't know of anybody that agree. I don't agree on everything with me spiritually. I have a theological argument all by myself. Okay, so this isn't about whether someone goes to your church or this or that. Please don't. There are too many times we divide ourselves way too much about that stuff. Listen, you go. You have some friends. They love God. They go to another church. Rock on with your bad self. Get together with them. Love on them. Make them a part of your circle. Listen to what God's doing in their life. Let them minister to you into you what God's doing in your life. And I tell you what, you'll stay strong and healthy for God. Amen. Maybe that's the one thing missing in your world. Or maybe this one was. This one was missing for Michelle and I for a long time. We didn't tithe. We weren't used to giving God our first and our best. And it messed with our heads. Because on one hand, we want to be blessed, but on the other hand, we don't even know how to put God first in our finances. So it messed with our heads. So maybe that's the one area you feel like you're just missing it. Or maybe it is a relationship issue and you're missing the point that you need to forgive somebody in your family. What's the one area? What's the one area you need to let go of? I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead. What is the one area that you are missing? That you are missing in your life? What are you missing? What are you missing? I got some things down, like this one. How about this? Maybe you're missing accountability. Accountability. Do you have anyone you're close to that can call you on the carpet and say, hey, man, what you did was wrong? You got anybody like that? Can I tell you, we all need people like that? It's all right. If you're married, you got one? Amen. Preach on, Pastor Charlie. I will. I will. But hey, listen, here's the reality. Sometimes people need accountability. Maybe that's the one thing. Maybe that's the one thing. Oh, and I know what you're thinking. No, Pastor Charlie, God uses me in holding people accountable. No, I did not say that. It's not your gift. Here's the third one. Write this one down. Maybe this one is the one thing. What one thing do you need to let go of? Ooh, this is a good one, I think. Maybe the first two didn't speak to you, but maybe this one's yours. Man, what do you need to let go of? I remember one of the most tragic things I ever did was minister to a young lady who had, she was actually my age, and but she was sick, sick in the head, sick in her heart, physically sick. Her body was dying. And she came to me for some counseling. I'm meeting with her, and I asked her first. She came because she wanted prayer for her physical body, and I said, hey, we'll pray for you. I said, but tell me about your life. Her first response is, my brother molested me when I was a kid. And she goes telling me about this thing about her brother. And I said, really? I said, that's a tragic shame. I said, have you forgiven him? Well, yeah. I said, well, then I want you to say it. Say, I have forgiven my brother. She goes, I can't say that. See, and you say, well, why would she? See, when I made her accountable to that, to say it, she couldn't go there because she knows she'd be lying. So whenever she goes, well, I just came, listen to it. I just came so that you would pray over my body. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Here's the deal. You came to get physically healed, but until you get healed on the inside, your physical body will never be healed. She doesn't go to our church anymore. She moved to Texas after the family moved. So I don't know how she's doing to this day. I don't know. But can I tell you, when I challenged her in that area, she did not want to let go of that hate and that anger that she had towards her brother. She did not want to let it go. And there is a lot of people that try and live their life holding on to the baggage of the past, but it really is just polluting their present, and it's completely contaminating their future. Completely contaminated. Hey, listen to this. Here's the reality. Anything that's harming you in the present, you have to let go in the present of it. You got to let go of it. Let go of it. Look at this. This is the Apostle Paul. Here's what he said. Philippians. He said, my brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehended, but this what? This what? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind and reaching forward to the things which are what? Ahead. Listen to this. He said, I can't live in two realities at the same time. I can't hold on to the past and grab a hold of the reality of the future at the same time. You can't do it. See, get this. The Apostle Paul, how many of you know his name was Saul? How many of you know he was killing Christians? Right? We talked about him last week. How many of you know he got slapped off a donkey? How many of you know that's a revelation? Right? After he got slapped off a donkey, you know that he was beat 5 times? He was shipwrecked, right? Suffered a lot for Jesus. He was stoned and not recreationally. For real. I mean, rocks. Last service I said he was stoned, but not recreationally. Anyway. Here's the reality. He suffered a lot. And here's the truth. What was he suffering with, I believe, the most? Was his past, probably. Leaving those things in the past and moving forward. Sometimes that is the hardest thing that people do, is leaving their past and moving forward. So what is the one thing you need to leave behind? Maybe you failed in a marriage. I just can't believe God would. Hey, listen, God can restore it. Maybe you failed in your finances. First of all, get involved in Financial Peace University. But second of all, God can restore that. God can restore your finances. Maybe you failed with a relationship with your kids. You know, God can restore a relationship with your family. He can do that. God is a restorer. I believe that your greatest failures are God's greatest opportunity for grace and mercy. Yeah, because you know you can't fix it. Only He can. And He gets the glory for fixing it. Amen? I believe that. What is the one thing you need to let go of? Let go of this year. I promise if you'll let it go, God will move in your life. Last night, we were over at we left here after church, and we went over to Don Poncho's over on Markland. And as we went in there, a young lady that comes to our church with special needs, Briella, she just a precious little lady. She was sitting there, as I walked into the restaurant, she was just sitting there. They have the little pond thing there. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the little pond thing? And she's sitting there, and she's singing that song, Let It Go, Let It Go, and she's just rocking. And immediately, it brought me back to my message, you know, what I'm saying about that. And, you know, I was thinking about how that connects to a child. Children move over things quick. You know, I mean, if you knew the story of this little girl, it's an amazing, amazing story as to what she's been through. But it's amazing. None of that affects her. She's just sitting there singing Disney on ice. Let it go, let it go. How many of you know that's how we should live? We should live with a constant just let it go mentality. Let it go mentality. There's a lot of things you could be bitter about. But the truth is, you're not going to get over it until you let it go. Right? Absolutely. You are not a victim, praise God. You're not a victim. Here's the last one that you might want to take down. Now, listen, just a review real quick. What one thing do you desire from God? Maybe that's some of you, all right? Here's the second one I said. What one thing are you missing? What one thing are you missing? The third one I just gave you is, what is the one thing that you need to let go of? Now, hopefully one of these has spoke to your heart. If not, this one definitely will. I believe it with all my heart. Here it is. What one promise do you need to claim this year over your life? What is the one promise you need to claim over your life? Say, Pastor Charlie, I don't know. Well, hey, let me just throw it out this way. If you don't know what promise to grab a hold of, why don't you grab a hold of my promise? I'm believing for some things this year, and mine really have to do with the church. This one specifically does. This one thing I'm believing, and I get it out of the prayer of Jabez, which is found in 1 Chronicles 4:10. Here's what it says. It says, and Jabez called on the Lord God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. How many of you know that's a good one? Here's the last part. And enlarge my territory. How many of you get almost lose your salvation leaving our parking lot every Sunday? I mean, we got people, literally hundreds of people that get saved every weekend, you know, and it's the same crowd. It's the same. They just lost their salvation last Sunday leaving church, and they got saved this Sunday, praise God, once they're in church. No, hey, I say all that to say the 11th and 12th of next month, I'm going to be talking about the church and our expansion and what we're going to do and how we're going to lay it out and all that stuff. But in light of that, if you don't know what to believe for, what promise, why don't you believe with me that God's going to just expand the church? Expand the church. How many of you know we need some space? Yeah, man, we need some space, no doubt. And we're going to work on that, and hopefully we can get some space. But nevertheless, the truth of the matter is, I'm believing, that's my one thing. Lord, give us territory. Give us what we need to be able to do what you have called us to do. Because listen to this. I mean, I'm actually contemplating going to a fifth service, and you know how much I don't want to do that. It's so bad. But I really, in this, do y'all love me? Y'all love me? All right, here's the deal. Here's what I'm going to say. I get to this service, and I've said my message so many times, so many different ways. Sometimes I lose track. I'm like, did I say that already or not? I'm like up here like arguing with myself. Yeah, I said that. No, I didn't. I need to say that again. So if ever in this service, if I say the same thing two or three times over, just preach it, Pastor, preach it. just go on. Y'all hear what I'm saying? How many of you know if you say the same thing in a sense, generally speaking, four times in a row, you feel like you're going batty? Sometimes I feel that way. So at some point, I'd like to back us down on how many services we have. But nevertheless, we'll keep preaching until God shows up and does something different. But here's the truth. So I'm believing for us to increase our territory. What is the one promise you're believing for? What is the one promise you're believing for? Let me just give you a couple things. The very day, this is Psalms 56, 9 and 10. I love this verse. And it's in the Living Bible. Look at it. The very day I call for help, the tide of the battle turns. Isn't that good? Okay, I'm the only one that gets excited about the fact that as soon as you call on God, God starts moving. Come on, amen? Look at this. My enemies flee. This one thing I know. Everybody say one thing.
One thing.
Look at this. God is, do you believe that?
Yes.
Come on, everybody say that. Say, God is for me.
God is for me.
Come on, say it again. Say, God is for me. Listen, all year, that should be you. You ought to call yourself at home. Leave a message when you get there saying, hey, just want to let you know, Charlie, God's for you. Praise God. Because God is for you. I believe that. It says, I am trusting God. Oh, praise His promises. I am not afraid of anything that man can do to me. Yes, praise His. I'm not going to live by man's opinion. I'm going to live by God's promises. Absolutely. Now, here's the deal. There are over 3,000 promises in the Bible, and I got them all on one slide for you. You guys thought I was serious. No, here's the deal. There are a lot of promises in the Bible, but these are just a few of the ones that you may want to grab a hold of. All right, may want to grab a hold of. Here's the first one. God always provides a way of escape for temptation. Y'all believe that? Maybe you're someone who, maybe you struggle with being tempted. Maybe you're a dude. Maybe you struggle with porn. All right? And you're like, Pastor Charlie, I struggle with it. I don't know what to do with it. Listen, the Bible says this. God always makes a way of escape for you. God will always make a way of escape. Now, you got to participate. You need to take that computer, beat it up. You need to get you a flip phone. Come on, get you a flip phone. Get rid of that temptation of opening it up and looking at that stuff. Come on, I'm just trying to help you. God will make a way of escape if you desire to be free from that. If you desire it. I'm going to believe God for the promise that God will set me free from being tempted in that area. Being tempted. And I'll tell you what, if you struggle with all that stuff, I'll tell you another way that'll help you. Tell your spouse. She'll help you. She'll help you real good. How about this one? God gives us peaceful sleep. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? Peaceful sleep. How many of you struggle with sleep? A lot of you probably. Hey, listen, the Bible says when you lay down, you should have peaceful sleep. Last night, I didn't get a great night's sleep. I cracked a tooth, by the way. I'll be calling you first thing in the morning. I got a cracked tooth. You know what I dreamed all night? That I'd get up here and my tooth would fall out. I dreamed it all night. All night. I kid you not. Dr. Christine, he'll fix me up though. But here's the reality. The reality is God wants you when you lay down to have peaceful sleep. And if there's something robbing that, deal with that situation so God can give you restful and peaceful sleep. Come on, amen. All right, listen to this. God forgives you of all your sins. Maybe you're one of those people that every time you miss it, you feel like the whole world's going to fall apart because you did wrong. I'm not here to give you a license to sin, but what I am here to tell you is that Jesus came and died because he knew we would miss it. And thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross, shedding your blood, so that when I miss it, I have an advocate with the Father, and the blood of Jesus washes me clean each and every day of my life. Amen? Amen. Maybe you need that promise. Maybe you feel like you fail all the time and you fail God. Listen, why don't you grab a hold of that promise that all my sins are completely forgiven. It's amazing how free you'll be. How about this? God makes all things work together for good. Maybe you're one of those, you know, Debbie Downers all the time. Well, you know, I want $1 million now. I got to pay taxes. Well, boo-hoo. Come on, you might know what I'm saying? Some people, it's like always glasses half empty. Always half empty. Well, I just don't understand why they're always blessed. Because you're blessed and you don't even see the blessing in it. There they go, asking me to work overtime. Guess I have to tithe more. Whatever. He makes all things work together for good, praise God. How about this one? God will never leave you. It's amazing how people are. One time I was counseling this lady. She was a young lady. So she came in, she sat down, we're talking. And she's like, I just don't feel like God answers prayers. My mic cut out. She goes, I just don't feel like God answers my prayers. I said, really? And this got her totally off guard. I said, do you cuss? She goes, I don't know. I said, cuss. She goes, what? I said, cuss. Just say a big old cuss word. How many of you know that'll shock somebody right there? I said, cuss. Go ahead. Let it rip. She goes, oh, I can't do that. I said, why? Because I'm the preacher? Cuss. People cuss in front of me all the time. Cuss. Go ahead. Let it go. Sometimes they cuss because I am the preacher. Just say whatever you want to say. She goes, oh, I can't do that. I said, why? You scared I'm going to hear you? She goes, no. She goes, I'm afraid God will hear me. I said, okay, so your mentality, I caught her. Do you see where I caught her? I said, so your mentality is if I cuss, God hears me. But if I pray to him authentically, God doesn't. See how sin conscious we are? When really God hears our prayers and God hears what we're saying. And again, I'm not, don't be telling your kids, cuss, go ahead. I'm not saying that. What I am trying to say is that God always hears us, praise God. Listen to this. He's the ever-present help in time of trouble. God promises to guide you. How about this? God promises to give you peace no matter the circumstance, right? How about this? God gives you power to resist Satan. That's the first verse I taught my kids. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I even taught it to him like a rap song. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Huh. Seriously. And I know what you're thinking. Why would you do it? I'm from the North End, man. That's how we teach our kids everything. All right? So we teach them how to rap, praise God. Michelle's the one who rescued me and pulled me to Greentown. But anyway. And they don't rap. They got gangs, though. Don't let them fool you. They got gangs. 4-H. That's gangsters. That's gangsta out there. All right, I'm going to shut up. Watch, I have all the 4-H kids out there with their tractors mad. All right, I need to stop. Woo! All right, praise God. How about this one? God promises to supply all your needs. Anybody else with me on that? Absolutely, man. God promises he'll supply all your needs. How about this? God promises eternal life through his son. Eternal life through his son. Say, Pastor Charlie, those are just, listen, those are, I don't know how many up there, 10, 15 maybe, promises. There are over 3,000 promises in the Bible. Grab a hold of one. If you don't know what else to believe, grab a hold of a promise. Let me tell you something about God's promises. This is 1 Corinthians chapter, or 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God are, come on, everybody say, all the promises are yes. Look at this. And in him, amen. Check this out. Every time you declare a promise over your life, picture in your mind God going, amen. Amen. See, whenever I declare a promise over my life, I don't expect God to say amen. How many of y'all know what amen means? What's it mean? So be it. That's right. Okay, so now, I don't expect God. See, because the way I am, I hear God going. I'll say, you know, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's a promise. Right? I hear God go, preach it. That's how I imagine it. That's a Charlie Riley amplified. But you get what I'm saying. God says, amen. So listen to this. You can't live life without declaring the promises of God over your life. Because that's what God says amen to. That's what he says so be it to. If you declare something over your life, especially this year, if you take and you hone it down to one promise that you're going to believe for, maybe you're having financial trouble and God will supply all my needs. Maybe you're having relationship trouble and you're praying for the peace of God to rule theirs in your heart. Man, I don't know what your situation is, but there's got to be something in your life where you could turn loose the promise of God, where God could say yes and amen to it. I just believe that with all my heart. There's got to be a place in your world that God wants to bless and move. So let me give it to you this way. This is the last slide, and then I'm done. I'm going to pray for you. All right, listen to this. So what one thing do you desire from God? What one thing are you missing? Again, don't use all four. Hone it down to one thing. How about this? What one thing do you need to let go of? Let go of it. And all this year, you're just going to let it go. Every time it comes to your mind, you're going to let it go. Every time you feel that emotion, you're going to let it go. Every time you think those, you're going to let it go. You're going to get rid of it. Or what one promise do you need to claim over your life? What one promise do you need to claim over your life? What one thing? Listen to this. If you'll take your faith and focus it in on that one thing, you watch how fast God will move. You watch what God does. And by the end of this year, God will have transformed that area completely in your life. And you'll learn a lot of other things. But here's the last thing I'm going to leave with you. Ready? If you did this over a period of 10 years, you transformed 10 areas of your life. 10 areas. 10 areas. 20 years, instead of life getting bitter and getting hard and getting all wound up, listen, after 20 years, you'd be 20 areas you're free of. You're completely free of. 30 years, see, the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. If you'll learn every year to lay something down, pick something up, move something out of your life, move something into your life, one promise to hold on to, I tell you, God will do big things. Y'all with me? Absolutely. Give the Lord a big clap. Praise God.